Hi, and welcome to Matrix Moments. Very excited to do this podcast with the two resident crypto nerds at the firm, Avnish and Akash. Thank you. I guess we're in the middle of a crypto winter, and it's kind of timely to do this podcast. The bears will say, you know, $3 trillion has gone to 1.2. Coinbase just lost $1 billion this last quarter. Interest rates are going up, risk off. The bulls will say, keep your line of sight on the 100 trillion opportunity. Bad actors are gone. Great things are starting. I guess this is about what our point of view on this space is. But if we cut out all this noise, and if we just focus on blockchain, Web3, crypto, what is so fundamentally transforming about these technologies? And where do we see value creation emerging over the next few years in this space?
I think I'll start with what is capturing the imagination for everyone, right? I think crypto, blockchain, Web3 has been both a technological force and a cultural force, right? I think there has been an element of with the backdrop of people building a lot of distrust with centralized organizations, which we saw with data privacy and all those narratives. I think blockchain brings a transparent trust ledger, right? And that has been one cultural phenomenon or cultural force behind it. And I think the second one is just the efficiency of what you can do with a distributed ledger. Now you combine those two with a strong and fast influx of young developers who are building behind it with extreme conviction and passion. You get what you get now. Obviously, we and I can talk about what has been some of the missteps in that journey. But that, together with, I think, one more factor which gets enabled by what we call crypto assets, tokens, tokenization, which is the first generation of web started with just passive consumption. And then we went to a point where consumers started becoming creators. I think the Web3 narrative is a lot to do with ownership and more equitable distribution of rewards back to these positive contributors. Now, those two things, we believe that are going to be extremely transformational. They are going to be pretty much the underpinning of how we look at web a few years from now. But
no, so I was going to pick up on that, but just backing up Rajinder to give a perspective from Matrix standpoint. If you guys remember, so Akash joined us about a year ago. You know, we had an offsite in Goa. And I think if there's ever, of course, it was the height of the bubble, that digital bubble as well. But it was not yet the height of the crypto bubble. It was getting there. And we had extreme FOMO internally on crypto. Personally, I have not been able to pick up as much on this sector for in the previous 2-3 cycles. Akash joined, we started chatting, and I realized that, you know, he's a original miner from those, 2013 days. And it is a sector that we either had to say we are not going to play or we better get smart soon. But if you ask me, we got really lucky. This is the time, best companies get created in winters anyway. But whether it's Google, Uber, Twitter, Facebook, they've all Apple's turnaround, iPhone, everything is in a winter, right? That's when you can make thoughtful choices. So I think absolutely a very strategic sector for Matrix. And I am still trying to get smarter on it, but we have people who are quite smart on it. Coming back to this distributed ownership, I'll tell you my first, when I started grappling with crypto, it took me a while, and then literally there was a day when the penny dropped. And that day was when I went back to the journey at Bazi after selling to eBay. And there was I'm a little foggy on the details, but there was like a million member seller march against eBay, protesting against fees and this and that. And I remember thinking, this is the community that we live off of, and they don't like us. And I remember going to discussing in an exec meeting that, we should carve out 5% of the company, redistribute it to the sellers. The seller should self-govern based on certain behaviors, how that ownership should be distributed. And we should give them a seat on the board. What does that sound like? tokens, autonomous organizations, governance, decentralization, all of that. So that really hit home for me. And to his point, I think this net-net web to value creation being shared more with the community, I believe in. That said, I just think, and we'll discuss some of it's just become too much. Sadly, what happens in these things is people are taking really extreme positions and battle lines get drawn, and everything has become about against advertising, against user information, against big tech. Well, what are you for? Don't tell me what you're against, right? And I think distributed governance, maybe, distributed rewards for sure. And I think that piece of the underlying technology, and we'll come to some other use cases, I think that's a very big tectonic shift.
So what are some of the opportunities that one sees, like across different blockchain technologies? How much of that transformational promise, in your view, is already kind of in the works? And are you meeting companies that are working on some of these transformational ideas?
I think for blockchain and crypto, in general, at a macro level, I think it is still finding its purpose. Right? And as we go through this cycle, and we've gone through two hype cycles now, we are probably, some would say it's a winter, some would say it's not. You do always, going back to what I was saying, these are times when you start seeing some real end utility use cases, transformational use cases emerge. What we have seen for now, like two which come top of mind, in actually being needle moving in terms of real world impact. One would be Helium, and I think when we first saw that, it was as, you know, as...
People may not know what Helium is.
Maybe and I'm going to talk about Helium, yeah. Right? So Helium is basically a distributed WAN, wireless WAN, wide area network, putting to use. If you're talking about the number of connected devices per person going up from 2 to 6 in the near future, you're saying if you could take all of that connected device, provide connectivity and geolocation in a distributed fashion instead of it being limited to a centralized network, and which again is a lot to do with the ethos of crypto, which is open networks. Helium does exactly that, and which was probably the most eye-opening real-world utility that we saw. There is more which we've seen also in the world of finance, again, and we'll talk more about it in terms of how blockchain allows to reduce rent seeking at multiple steps and unlock more trust by making trust shift from trust brokers to code, and which is what smart contracts play a role in. I think Goldfinch has been a great example of that, wherein they have been able to unlock cheaper liquidity for real-world lending downstream to end use cases in emerging markets by tapping into liquidity which is sitting in geographies where fixed income rates would be maybe 1%, 2%. So I think there are multiple more, but these two do truly stand out. And
so I would say, look, wherever there are, like Akash was saying, by the way, he goes by Cash, so we can call him Cash here. So wherever there are legacy archaic systems which are extracting rent by virtue of just their legacy position rather than any value they are adding, okay? So I was shocked, I was in New York City this summer, that the closing cost of a transaction, so if you're buying something between the mortgage, the fees, the tax, it's 12%. Now, real estate in America doesn't go up 25% a year like it used to here. I mean, that means you're basically out of money for 2 years. Yeah. By just closing. Why? Why is it so expensive? Right? And it's all, there's no tech. It's all legacy systems. What do smart, what is a real estate transaction? It's a contract. Why can't you have, so the minute you put contracts on the blockchain, a smart contract, and the costs are much lower. Now, there are issues that blockchains and all need to solve in terms of security and stuff. I think some industries just lend themselves very, very naturally. He was talking about Goldfinch, which is lending, cross-border payments, payments in general, but cross-border payments, depending on the size of the merchant, can cost anywhere between 4 to 12%. What is the real cost of moving money?
Maybe less than 100 bips.
Why even that?
Near zero.
I mean, you are saying maybe Forex, but buy even that. If it's instant, the cost is zero. UPI in India costs zero. Why is there 12% being charged, right? So I think some of this will change, and they are very natural use cases. You know, both of us, where you can't do crypto without going down the rabbit hole of podcasts and watching like a ton of stuff. There's this lady, I'll give her a shout out, Tasha Labs. It's we should put a link, Saloni. So she put out 35 use cases. But one in particular, which was the first one, really caught my eye. She said, Amazon has all these fulfillment centers, FBA, fulfilled by Amazon. What if, like Airbnb, you could do this from your backyard? Actually, a model like Airbnb could have really lent itself. Now, Airbnb has done a fantastic job without the blockchain. But think about every person in their backyard having a Amazon fulfillment center. It cannot be done without the blockchain. And if that network becomes valuable, your ownership of that network by virtue of tokens becomes more valuable. It's distributed, it's smart, and it's equalized. Now, the challenge becomes, we are trying to imagine all these cases, right? So at some point, that's where the challenge is. But when, you know, there are famous people who said, when the computer came out, who's going to use it? When a phone came out, who's going to use it? When an iPhone came out, who's going to use email on a phone? So you never know. These things change, and people find use cases.
I guess one of the fundamental problems for any new technology is that there is an existing infrastructure that already exists. And so either you target new use cases. So some of the use cases that you all were describing were use cases which are large but excessively rent-seeking. And then there are other use cases which, frankly, just don't exist today in the shape and form. So an example would be GameFi or, you know, the overall creator economy. That today exists in a very, very different way. That use case does not, frankly, exist. Do you see a difference in adoption when it comes to some of these use cases which are well established in Web 2 versus use cases which were just not as well established in Web 2?
I think going back to what we were speaking about earlier, right, the polarizing views people have around crypto, and how you just spoke about, we are imagining these use cases. I think there's one fundamental difference between the earlier eras of web and web one happened. There was this urgency of utility, right? You wanted, there was like a gold rush to say, hey, let's bring emails, let's unlock messaging. With crypto and web three, it's more a transformation. You're not going after new use cases, at least for now, and hence the imaginative aspect, right? And which is why you see most of the narratives which have been around have been GameFi, which is about saying that, hey, can we turn peer-to-peer economies which already existed in gaming worlds into now a proper economy and marketplace? Can we take DeFi? Again, the narrative has been more a transformation of how we do finance. There is nothing new that we are talking about over here. I think that
I'm just sorry to interrupt there, but I think that's a very key point. Innovation is being sold often as disruption, but it's not. It's innovation. And therefore, if you expect very disruptive stuff very soon, that's where the challenge ends up. And coming back to this GameFi, and with like your views, Rajendra, because I know you've been tracking this, you read a lot as well. But if you ask me about GameFi, what's new? I mean, you already have digital currencies. Why do you need tokens? Now, I could argue that a company like Disney or Electronic Arts or a behemoth that wants to, what is the biggest bane of a gaming business? Hits. If a platform could hook you onto the platform with tokens and it can move from one game to the other, it's actually great for a Disney or Electronic Arts or one of these, right? But is digital currency just tokens for that? Which is why I think some of these Axie Infinity at one point, even internally, we thought play to earn would be big. It was a disaster. It was just a complete scam, right? So. But what is your view, looking at the outside on this whole crypto boom, bust, FOMO?
No, so I think from the outside in, the simple answer is, you know, where are the end use cases that actually enable a new and better version of doing something that didn't exist before? So if I look at GameFi, very simple. It sounds like a lot of the play to earn stuff was just people who have, you know, a lot of time rich, money poor kind of, you know, economy, which obviously in India there's you know, enough of those users. But then eventually those games don't really last or beat the previous generation of games. Now, is it more efficient to discover hits this way? Perhaps, but I can see enough examples of the inefficiencies also creeping in, right? So I'm actually still more on the skeptical side of, you know, where are the end utility use cases. The examples of excessive rent seeking that you shared, those actually I'm able to relate to a lot more, because there I can see where existing participants want to actually migrate to a more trusted chain and, you know, transact at lower costs. But a lot of the other examples just seem frivolous, and that's partly where the
and
you know,
by
scams,
etc. Who seeks the most rents from people?
Well, digital.
Who seeks in the world? Like governments.
Governments, yeah, yeah.
Who's the most opposed to blockchain and crypto?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, they lose the power.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. No, so on this, I guess you've touched upon some of the macro thesis that, you know, you like cash. And one of the other conversations that you've brought up often is that the kind of talent that's spending time in this space is, you know, truly, truly now beginning to become exciting. Initially, it was a lot of, you know, projects and, you know, well, let's
the
just
ICO
say, let, yeah, exactly. But now the quality of talent that's coming in is also very, very exciting. Talk a little bit about, you know, what that means in terms of, you know, what thesis areas people are actually spending time on.
I think the thesis areas now, when you start seeing influx of quality talent, the thesis areas start going back to the fundamentals, right? The fundamentals being, we were talking about finance, rent seeking, infra, distributed. I think the one big shift which we're seeing early signs of is that as more and more Web2 consumer internet and tech builders come into the space, they are not harping on a 0-1 on the decentralization spectrum, right? They understand that decentralization across logic, operations, or even any other aspect of how you run and build a venture, it's a spectrum, right? It's not a pure 0-1. And which used to be and has typically been a big pet peeve for Web3 builders in the past. I think that's one big shift. And as and when that shift keeps growing, and when Web3 starts adopting some of the goodness of Web2, you can't build ventures and companies without focusing on consumer experience. You can't build companies and you know, anything material which impacts consumers without focusing on retention, right? Like, all those things will now come into play. And we are seeing early signs of it, and I still stress on the word early. I think we're still to see more folks who come with that strong founder mindset. But outside of that, the inflow of the developer talent, which is slowly, slowly embracing decentralized computing, decentralized storage, the decentralized architecture, that is getting us to a point where the core underlying stack, which is the blockchain and the infrastructure layers, one would believe they would mature and become secure, resilient, enterprise grade, I think in the near future.
And is that an advantage for, you know, firms in India investing, because the talent in this ecosystem, you know, there is a skew towards India just given the number of developers who are entering this ecosystem from India?
So as soon as, if you keep going up the stack and the blockchain and the infrastructure starts becoming more stable and more scalable, I would say the same way we have seen India generate SaaS middleware sort of outcomes built from India for the globe, there is no reason why it wouldn't happen again. And I think that's one key thesis area for us, besides looking at everything to do with the first principle evolution and innovation in finance.
It's definitely, the world is, the crypto world is very flat. And that we are seeing, right? A lot of the, some of the top companies are already sitting out of India or Dubai or wherever, right? So now, you know, India has regulatory issues, so we will likely see company creation in Bangalore and company migration to Dubai, used to be Singapore, who knows, some of these.
Maybe even Bahamas now.
Maybe, yeah, wherever. What people should realize is it's not for shady reasons. Well, they were, the problem is there were enough, 95, 98%, there were shady reasons to do it. But even legit, where people are trying to create stuff, then you know, you generally end up in an area, birds of a feather like to hang together, right? So where it's a more conducive environment. But I do think that, coming back to your talent point, although we have, I think, Rajinder, you were in HBS at the time, and I graduated dot-com bubble. Everybody from HBS who went to dot-com, you knew that they had timed the market top. So I see some element of that, right? But I also see small minority, but very, very smart people. Not just developers. Without developers, there's no. I remember when Java came out during internet, you know, some of the sharpest developers adopted it, and therefore it got a virtuous spiral going. But even on the business side, some opportunists, but some really, really sharp people. And those sharp people, interestingly, and going back to some of the thesis areas, institutional finance and some of that stuff, those people are actually doubling down as we speak. Because they're saying this is the time, like we would think, that this is the time to take a deep breath and invest for the next 10 years rather than near term. I'll tell you the challenge. The challenge is this a $10 trillion market cap opportunity or $50 trillion is unclear. The way things were valued, if you assume everybody's saying in 10 years, let's say it's $20 trillion for the sake of argument, it was already $4 trillion, $3 trillion. That's just a 6x. That wasn't worth the risk reward, right? So I think that's where some of these cycles come.
So understand on the cycles, but there are also other mega trends at play overall in technology right now. And it just feels like this is happening around the same time. So if you look at what's happening around, you know, AI and software, if you look at what's happening around, you know, just devices and quantum computing, it seems like a lot of things kind of falling into place at the same time.
Yeah.
Does that then change the
reward? So if you ask me, this is just insurrections always get more coverage. Because this has been set up as anti-big tech, anti-user data, anti-advertising, it's a movement. That's why it gets more coverage. If you ask me, in terms of market cap creation, quantum computing, 5G, AI/ML, who knows what's going to be bigger? If you ask me, I'm very excited about those also. And I think those could be very big. But they are not an insurrection. It's not a revolution. And hence, I think the narrative, so one should not get carried away by the narrative. I think at the technology level, there are equal big disruptions going on in parallel.
And I think talking about alluding to AI/ML is very relevant here, right? I think there was a time, I think AI has now gone through maybe 4 or 5 hype cycles, right? There was a time when every pitch tech would have that they're an AI company. And today we've reached a point where we have hit maturity, where we're seeing enterprise AI, where we're seeing horizontal AI, we're seeing the vertical AI use cases. I think if we always take a step back, and I think Abhi's very right, that the insurrection part of it and that cultural part of it, the cultural phenomena that there is with crypto, that gets more coverage. But similar to AI/ML, this is, again, a piece of innovation which is going to transform how businesses happen. And hence that confluence of AI/ML, crypto, 5G is probably going to be that 50, 100 trillion opportunity in isolation, each one, I think anyone's guess.
Yep.
So you spoke about finance, and there are obvious clear use cases, especially like the cross-border example you shared, and you know, I'm sure there are more that we can talk about. DeFi in general had promised massive yields, and a lot of consumers adopted it, and then the yield story changed. But you know, without getting into that, or we can get into that too, help the listener just understand, how does all of this work? Like, where are these returns generated? How does this actually work on the blockchain? What is our view on this category, this space overall? There's regulation that one can expect as well.
I think fundamentally and principally, it's supposed to generate work from a simple value flow, right? You have protocols who are supposed to generate value. They have a mechanism to distribute this value to positive contributors. And this could be in form of proof of work, proof of stake, which is effectively people contributing compute to making the system work, right? Instead of a central organization, you've distributed your input. Now, that's the ideal world of how yield should be generated. What we saw with DeFi and abnormal yield promises was mostly Ponzi. There is no other word for it. It was just your own tokens and creating an infinite supply of token and then pushing it back through staking rewards. Now, again, when you financialize, and that's one, that's a good and a bad for crypto, it is a financialized innovation which is happening, right? Day zero, it is financialized, which leads to such outcomes many a times. And maybe we might see a recurrence of it. But I would say most of it is Ponzi. But yes, there is, we spoke about Goldfinch, we spoke about tokenized exchanges, exchanges like Binance, or tokenized decentralized exchanges, which say that, hey, the market making aspect of it can be done with code. You can have an automated market maker and then distribute those rewards back to the contributors. I think there are real cases, and more will come.
Yeah. Look, yeah, so coming back to this Ponzi point, I mean, at a very simplistic level, imagine three projects. All have raised a ton of, first of all, how are they set up? They issued tokens to their original investors, founders, whatever, at 10 cents. Then they did an airdrop, which was at a dollar. So the people at 10 cents think they are 10x in the money. None of this now, but it means nothing unless you are able to trade. So then they will trade it to another project which is doing something else with their own token. So you have a circular economy, which is all increasing in value, and this is classic bubble, and inflating by just moving within, and sometimes actually fueled by the VC money, right? What was broken? What was broken was that the token generation was value was not tied to the actual PMF of the project. It was tied to financialization and this trading, right? Which is where, and by the way, there was so much arbitrage. When you hear of these crypto millionaires and all of that, that's what they were doing. They were exploiting this, and there was no perfect information marketplace like you would. There's no exchange. Where is the centralized exchange, right? So it comes with every big change in technology. Some scam will happen, all of that will happen, right? The question is our token still a fundamentally better way of structuring businesses going forward in certain sectors? Absolutely. I remember Mark Andreessen, I mean, in some ways, he's the first one who gave us navigation of the internet, right, with Mosaic browser. He puts it very simply, and I think very correctly, that the problem with the original internet was we forgot to build payments into it. Blockchain is open, decentralized internet with payments built in. Will there be use cases? Yes. Will there be fraud? Yes. Right. But that's, I think, the net. Coming back to DeFi, by the way, right from the start, our view internally very early was that this looks like a scam. The better term we use internally now is OpenFi. Let's think about open finance, whether it comes with trade finance, this, that, to see how do we make the rent seeking lower and improve the efficiency.
One of the issues in 2022 was leverage crept into this economy, and there was excessive leverage which led to a lot of the bad actors kind of playing up. Can you help, you know, the listener understand just how did leverage creep into these transactions? Is this the circular economy that you're referring to, or, you know, did institutions have some role to play? Can you just describe?
But let me ask you this, Rajinder. If you were getting 20% to stake tokens, and what is your, if you had to take a personal loan, how much would it cost you?
12.5% in India, I guess.
Wouldn't you go crazy taking personal loans and staking tokens? Yeah. That's what was going on.
That's the answer.
That's the answer. Both in fiat and non-fiat. And what was happening was, and Akash will give you, he's much more knowledgeable on this, the non-fiat, the crypto tokens, you could borrow at 4%, right? I mean,
you could lever up 20x. Like, imagine in our public markets, you do 5x, 6x, maybe. And you will, a retail investor could lever up 20x. So that is the insane amount of leverage which was happening in this. And which is why, like, see, leverage works as long as things are going up and the speculation is continuously moving things up. But the moment you have unwinding, there is not enough market depth in most of these tokens beyond the top 20, which is exactly what we saw in the last 6 months. So short answer is it was just...
And they were all trying to increase value of tokens. They have to keep increasing demand. Because the more the token price goes up, the more the hedges and the VCs want to buy it. I mean, with hindsight, it's so obvious. But, trillions, I guess, were lost. But genuinely, tens of billions of cash has been lost, right? And all this.
I can cite an interesting anecdote. A $10,000 position buy on something beyond, let's say, the top 150, 200 market cap token could pretty much, with the kind of depth you have, and still limited, right, could move the price up by 200%. So this was pure financial fun for some, and a lot of people made money.
By the way, one thing we haven't spoken about, which Akash, you should add, because that was a learning for me, is how much collusion happened here and front running. That even though we are getting to the pieces of this blockchain and architecture and all, which all needs to get fixed for this to become big. If every other day you're reading that somebody's wallet is stolen, 100 million yahan nikal gaya, 700 million wahan nikal gaya, it's just not going to work. So that's just fraud and stealing, which goes to security. But the whole premise of blockchain was that you cannot collude. But there are these concept of whales that would hoard a lot of the token. They can change the governance of the protocol, and there was collusion happening in some ways.
So it sounds like, from the outside, that a lot of overpromise and under delivery, unfortunately, in 2021 and some part of 2022. What should we learn from it, and what should we look forward to as investors?
Yeah, so I think much more was scared last year. First of all, zero knowledge. Now at least a little bit of knowledge, but it is a constant endeavor. Akash pushed me to attend a crypto conference, and the best thing coming out of that conference for me was my FOMO, or the confidence built, that I am not the only stupid person around who doesn't know anything. There are lots of them, right? And so but that's okay. It's early stages of a sector. It just calibrates you. That was, there are no experts out there, right? You have to figure your own path, stay on first principles. I still think it's very exciting. How does it impact Matrix? And Akash, you should talk more. But for example, there are no-brainer. Everybody talks about this picks and shovels thesis, right? There are no-brainer things to do. Will there be more developers? Are we seeing more and more developers coming here? Yes. Should we be investing behind dev tools? Are the same dev tools that worked in Web2 work here? No. Therefore lies the opportunity, right? Any more to add? So net, short-term realistic, long-term optimistic. And in my view, this is a better time to invest for sure than last year was.
Yeah, and I think our macro thesis broadly remains around just moving up the stack. A, dev, SaaS, middleware. B, what we spoke about, open finance. And C, I think capital markets products, right? Like institutional investors, because all of a sudden you're talking about tokenized assets. You're talking about real world assets moving on chain. You're talking about exchanges which are 24/7 across the globe, cross-border liquidity. You need new capital market products for these. You'll also see, given that you have programmable money, which is what you have thanks to smart contracts, you'll also see new financial products come. So I think those three broadly become our macro thesis areas.
One of the things we haven't spoken about is regulations. And I actually consider, if you ask me, generally in fintech and some of these sectors, regulations as a feature, not a bug. Because when you are operating in a gray area, you shouldn't. It's just not going to happen. It's touching too many people's lives. But for the sake of argument, I could flip that around and say that India is talking about not allowing crypto. And there's going to be but will digital currencies be there? Yes. For a country that has been on the cutting edge and pushed UPI to bring cost of money down to zero or cost of payments down to zero, I can absolutely see a top-down push coming. Will that open up? Is India against blockchain? No.
Correct.
So CBDC, central bank digital currency plus blockchain, could be transformational. It could just like fintech did with UPI, it could just unlock so many use cases. And again, going to the financial inclusion point, which I know has been, you know, is obviously a big priority for our country. So even local applications, I think right now people are negative on, but that might change.
Actually, there's one. So I attended one of these conferences, and the central bank actually has a committee, and their number one application right now is SMB trade finance.
Yeah, there you go.
So there is an actual intent from the government to drive financial inclusion on the blockchain. So we'll see. I think it's still early days, and there's a lot of companies, tech companies, that can participate in the success of it. But it's, I would say it's the early days of where UPI was.
Yep. And overall, I think it's the mid-1990s of where internet was. Where people get it wrong is they think it's 2008, 2010. It's mid-90s. It will be much faster because it's on steroids, but it's still early days.
Like one tailwind we keep talking about and which goes back to reestablish early days is the developer inflow. Yes, it's been growing at a rapid pace, but the last Electric Capital publishes the report, and at least as of December 21, active developers in Web3 were still maybe 20,000, right? Amazon alone has 30,000. So in every regard, it is still early.
Cool. Thank you. Enjoyed.
Super. Thank you, Rajendra.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.